Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast today. This morning, I am a very proud St. Louisan. Last night in Boston, my hockey team, the St. Louis Blues, pulled off an incredible win against the Boston Bruins in Game 7 to take home the Stanley Cup. This is the first time they've won that coveted award since 1967 when they first became a franchise. I am ecstatic. They went from last place to first place. And look at what they have accomplished. I cannot say enough. Congratulations to the greatest hockey team in the world, the St. Louis Blues. Craig Berube, you are amazing. Jordan Binnington, you can stop anything. Ryan O'Reilly, the most valuable player. I just wanted to take a moment to congratulate my team on an incredible victory last night in Boston. And the parade will be this Saturday. I'm continuing on my teaching this morning from my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes, and this is part 5. And this teaching, which will be in about 2 parts, is one of the most important sections of my book, because if we ever had a role model for how women should be treated in God's church, it is Jesus. And I will be taking some time now this morning and next time, maybe even 3 parts, I'm not sure, to demonstrate from Scripture how Jesus treated women. In our church, we have this problem of some discrimination and male hierarchy, and women who are gifted and are called by God to teach and preach and lead are being stopped because of gender and because of what the church has believed to be the teaching of Scripture. I've been trying to show in these last several weeks how there is another way to look at these verses of Scripture which teach that women cannot teach in God's church. This morning, I want to begin this teaching series in chapter 3 of my book, How Jesus Treated Women. The extremely low status that the Greek, Roman, and Jewish women had for centuries was radically affected by the appearance of Jesus Christ. His actions and teachings raised the status of women to new heights, often to the consternation and dismay of his friends and relatives and enemies. By word and deed, he went against the ancient, taken-for-granted beliefs and practices that defined women as socially, intellectually, and spiritually inferior. This is author Alvin Schmidt from his book, How Christianity changed the world. Even the enemies of Christianity will concede that Jesus treated women and his time during his ministry with great respect and compassion. There is a wonderful promise tucked into the collection of Hebrew poetry, also known as the Psalms, that is for the oppressed. It is a special promise of deliverance for the hurting and the scarred that have suffered under the yoke of bondage for centuries without any relief. And I'm speaking of Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. God's word says, "He will deliver and rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him." God understands the pain and sufferings of humanity because he left his royal throne in heaven and clothed himself in human flesh. He became one of us and suffered immensely in body, soul, and spirit on a wooden cross for our salvation. He is not a distant, faraway deity, but a personal, loving, compassionate God who promises one day in eternity to, quote, "wipe all tears from our eyes and abolish all pain, suffering, and death forever." At the perfect time, God stepped out of eternity and became a human being in Jesus Christ. The great event of the incarnation was God entering into humanity for the purpose of delivering us from the pain and guilt of sin and restoring us from our brokenness to beauty once again. For centuries, and this goes, women had suffered under the yoke of oppression and discrimination, and now God himself was going to come into humanity and rescue them from the slime and filth of gender abuse. Jesus was a man of great humility and compassion, and as the God of justice, he confronted the evils of discrimination and racism that had enslaved women for far too long. Jesus came to announce the arrival of the kingdom of God, and in this kingdom, there would be no oppression, discrimination, or racism permitted, but instead, in this kingdom, there would be compassion, equality, and genuine kindness that once had filled the paradise of Eden. Jesus had come to liberate women from the chains of gender abuse and restore them once again to their dignity and worth as the image bearers of God. What we have to understand as we learn about how Jesus treated women, we have to have a good understanding of the culture at that time so we can appreciate the valuable compassion and the way that Jesus treated women. The view of women in the culture of Jesus' day was both sad and deplorable. Women were treated as second-class citizens by the very religious establishment that claimed to speak from God. The oral law of Jesus' day, quote, was, "let the words of the law be burned rather than committed to women. The woman, says the law, is in all things inferior to man. Let her accordingly be submissive. Apion chapter 2, 2:10. Praise be to God that he has not created me a Gentile. Praise be to God that he created me not a woman." This was the Thanksgiving prayer of a Jewish person. A rabbi considered it beneath his dignity to even speak in public to a woman. This was the mood of the Jewish culture, and it was very hostile to the average woman. It was into this culture that Jesus came to restore the value, dignity, and worth of a woman. Just as God had announced in the Garden of Eden to our first parents that there would come a redeemer, a deliverer, that God would bring salvation and deliverance to his people through the person of Christ. The announcement first came in the Garden of Eden. And just as God announced that, he planned that his deliverer would come and pick up women who had been thrown into the gutter of discrimination. He would lift them up and restore them to the status that they once enjoyed with Adam in the Garden of Eden. And we see throughout the scriptures, I'm going to be teaching on this, how Jesus treated women. My first example is one of my favorite stories in all of scripture. And it's the story of the woman caught in adultery. When I read this story, I think of my Iranian friends, my friends in Saudi Arabia, how Jesus, if he had been there, would have spared their lives from the awful crime of public stoning. So let's take a close look this morning on our broadcast in this example of how Jesus treated women in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. Here, the Bible unveils a heated scenario between the Pharisees and scribes concerning a woman caught in the act of adultery. They immediately bring the woman to Jesus with the motive of just testing him. To the religious leaders, the woman was just merely property owned by her husband, and her vile act had brought disgrace upon the husband. However, in this chapter, in this scenario, it is interesting and perhaps deliberate that the man caught in the offense was conveniently missing. Where was he? Why hadn't he been brought to be stoned along with the woman? It is also worth pointing out that the religious leaders were really not interested in upholding God's moral law. Why? They were instead intent on exposing Jesus as a false prophet and discrediting him. That's why they brought this woman to him. The adulterous woman had become their perfect propaganda tool to confront and discredit the Son of God. Filled with passionate rage, they looked Jesus in the eyes and asked this question: "Will you have her stoned as the law requires?" The religious leaders were referencing Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 22 through 30. Now, listen to this context. The religious leaders had devised an elaborate scheme to expose Jesus. He's a false prophet. If he agreed with the law in favor of the woman being stoned, then they would point out that he was betraying his reputation among the crowds as being a compassionate rabbi. If, however, he spared the woman's life, they would cry out that he was disobeying the law of Moses and was therefore a false prophet. The religious leaders were convinced they had cornered Jesus in an impossible trap to escape from. Well, Jesus, knowing the intent of their deceitful hearts, bent down and began writing with his finger in the sand. While theologians have debated for centuries what exactly Jesus was writing, it is possible that he was writing down the individual sins of all of these accusers. However, there is a pertinent passage in the book of Jeremiah that is more likely referring to what Jesus was writing. It's a passage that speaks of God's judgment upon a rebellious religious establishment. Quote, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountains of living water." Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. The text should literally read, "Those who turn aside from my ways will have their names written in the dust and blotted out. In writing in the dust with his finger, Jesus was instead pointing the accusing finger of judgment upon these corrupt religious leaders. Jesus stood up and in a precise and confrontational tone, pointed his finger of judgment at them, exposing their hypocrisy. Let him who was without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. With this confronting declaration, Jesus forever silenced the mouths of the religious elite. They were unprepared for this heart-piercing confrontation. Their hypocrisy had been exposed, and one by one, they let the stone fall from their hands and departed. In one of the most beautiful scenes in all of the Bible, the adulterous woman was left alone with Jesus. No doubt, she was still shaking with fear and anxiety. Yet, Jesus shows tenderness, respect, and compassion for this woman. He treated her with great value instead of condemning her for her sin. The religious leaders had treated her as damaged goods with malicious contempt. But the Son of God reached out and showed her mercy instead. He showed respect first by acting contrary to the rabbinic code of that day. Why? He spoke to the woman. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord, the woman replied. Listen to these beautiful words. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus reassured her. Go, and from now on, sin no more. This is a beautiful illustration of the compassion and respect that Jesus demonstrated toward women. He confronted the abusive religious leaders, exposed their hypocritical hearts, and stood in defense of this adulterous woman. Jesus did not deny that she had sinned, but instead of condemnation, he extended grace and mercy toward her. When I read about the horrific stories on the internet of Muslim crowds stoning women to death in Middle Eastern countries like Pakistan, engaging in honor killings, I immediately think of this beautiful account in John's Gospel. I can picture Jesus standing in defense of these helpless women and pointing the accusing finger back at them. Jesus is the God of justice, a defender of the honor of women. He refused to align himself with the false rabbinic code of his day and instead lifted women out of the gutters of discrimination, restoring them to their equal dignity as equal image bearers of God. What an incredible story of respect and compassion by the Lord of the universe. I want to take just a couple of minutes out now and talk about this story from a woman's perspective. Lauren Daigle is a contemporary Christian worship artist, and what a wonderful song in tribute to women. It's called You Say. Let's listen right now on the cross in the desert.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Wow, what a powerful worship song from Lauren Daigle, because it really matters, number one, what God says about us, regardless of what anyone else says. Well, what have we been learning this morning about how Jesus treated women? Well, number one, Jesus was on a mission of giving hope to the hopeless. In his hometown of Nazareth, he had announced his messiahship to a hostile crowd that wanted to throw him down from a cliff. Prior to that, he had entered the synagogue and opened the chapter, the scroll of Isaiah, and began reading at chapter 61. All eyes were intently focused upon him as he opened his mouth to teach. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of Lord's favor has come. When Jesus finished and closed the scroll, he proclaimed, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The entire ministry of Jesus had been beautifully predicted in this powerful prophecy of Isaiah 61. He had come to proclaim the good news to the poor in spirit, to heal the hearts that were broken by sin, and to set the captives free from their chains of sorrow and despair. This was indeed good news for the afflicted, the oppressed, the spiritually broken. There is a subtle way, and I want to stop right there. We have seen this morning how Jesus reached out with mercy and compassion to a woman caught in the very act of adultery, that according to the law of Moses, her and the one who sinned with her was to be stoned. And what this beautiful scene says to you and me is, we as lawbreakers, as those deserving of judgment, instead of God consigning our fate to a Christless eternity forever, instead, he steps in and he absorbs our sin. He takes our punishment in our stead and shows mercy instead of judgment. As the scripture says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, next time on The Cross in the Desert, I will continue my teaching series from this book, Broken Yet Beautiful, and we will continue to learn how Jesus treated women in part two. If you want to follow along and benefit from the teachings that I am talking about here in the program, just go to Amazon, Amazon.com. My book, Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes, will be available right there for you, in paperback and in Kindle. This book is to give hope and healing to women who have been hurt, who feel they can't fulfill God's calling because of the rules and traditions in church today and what Scripture says. My book is giving you a different way to look at those often quoted verses and to help you to see what God's plan is for women in the church today. I hope this morning that just this beginning of my teaching series on how Jesus treated women has helped you, has given you hope. And on Monday, we will continue once again teaching from my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, and see how Jesus treated a woman in Samaria. We are going to find out how Jesus views women in this teaching series. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And I want to remind you again that this podcast is every Monday and Thursday at 9:30 a.m. If you should miss it and can't join me live, you can always listen to the rebroadcast. It'll be posted on my page and in the archives of Blog Talk Radio. I want you to have an incredibly great week and a great weekend. And I will see you again on Monday at 9:30 a.m. on the cross in the desert. God bless you.